about.
What are we not to do on this day of thanks?
Commit suicide?
Exactly. We are the pilgrims, you bitches are the Indians. This is the holiday where we cooperate.
Oh, yes. We bring you maize.
And you
give us smallpox blankets.
Exactly. Everybody wins.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Based on my rule, which is that any animal that can catch a frisbee is not food. That's how I divide the animal kingdom. Throw him a frisbee. If it bounces off his head, he's lunch. You know, I know it's not scientific, but it works with most of your better-tasting animals. You throw a frisbee to a turkey, boom, right off his head. Sorry, don't play sports. I'm a turkey. Well, what are you doing here? Well, you know, I don't know. I just have a lot of white meat and drumsticks. Hint! If you wanted to kill me, I'm not really good at flying away. Hint, hint! I know only one word, gobble. Big hint.
And now, as you all know, I hate Thanksgiving. The pilgrims were murderers, and turkey tastes like napkins.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of November.
Hey, everybody. I like to wish everybody in entire United States of America happy Thanksgiving. It's on Thursday, November 23rd, 2017. I hope you travel safe. For everybody that lives in the United States of America, including U.S. territories like Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, and Guam, and Alaska, and Hawaii, I'd like to wish everybody in the entire United States of America a happy Thanksgiving.
By the way, I have a Frankie question.
Yeah.
He's familiar with his videos. He's seen his videos.
Right.
He knows how they sound.
Right.
Why doesn't he just record them indoors? Why do they have to be out in a hurricane every week?
I mean, it's not necessarily technically a hurricane, but there is a lot of wind noise.
Seems like there's a lot of wind.
I'm not positive he's a professional.
He's very much a professional. First of all, how dare you? But second of all right, so America, United States of America, Puerto Rico, territories, Alaska, Hawaii. Who else is getting a happy Thanksgiving wish from Frankie?
To have turkey dinners with their families all across the entire United States, including Texas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and...
How many states?
I was watching this yesterday. I was like, he's going to name all 50, isn't he?
How many is he going to name? I love that he's just off the top of his head. He's Canadian, by the way. Probably naming more states in a shorter period of time off the top of his head than most Americans can.
Than I could, for sure.
Ohio and all those states in the United States of America, including all the way in California, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Tennessee, and all across New England, Mid-Atlantic. Happy Thanksgiving for my fans and everyone in the United States of America. I'm Frank McDonald.
Thank you, Frankie McDonald. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
He doesn't belabor the goodbye, does he?
No.
I'm Frank McDonald.
I love that dude, and he gives a lot of people a lot of joy. And you know what I really I don't know if you've ever been to his page or looked at the comments under his YouTube videos, but you would expect the internet is a cruel place.
Yes, very.
You would expect that there are assholes out there who would be mean to Frankie. I've never seen it.
Really?
Every comment to Frankie is, you too, Frankie, thanks for doing such a great job. We love your reports. Keep up the good work. Have a wonderful holiday. I mean, it's just one right after another. For whatever reason, Frankie's just so lovable that people can't even think of a mean thing to say back to him. That makes me very, very happy.
Do you normally read the comments under videos or just because you were checking on that?
I normally do not read the comments unless I have a question about the video that I assume somebody else would have also had that question and then answered. I usually don't, but yeah, I was curious how Frankie is received.
All right,
and I'm happy to say they love him. All right, so that's Thanksgiving greeting from Frankie. If we have time for one more quick thing,
we do.
All my Thanksgiving material is going to be out of date here soon.
Right.
So let me get to this because this was freaking out the internet yesterday. Somebody tweeted, let me find the name here, Cornbread Shoddy, may or may not be his real name.
No, I think that was Chip.
Tweeted that he is going to his aunt's house for Thanksgiving again this year, but that she has raised the cost per meal for her family from $20, which it was last year, to $30. You go to your aunt's
house
for
family?
Yes. Yes, this is in her home. She's not running a restaurant. This is her holiday meal with her family. $30 per plate this year. And predictably, people were freaking out over that. Like, how can you be going to a relative's house for Thanksgiving dinner and being charged?
I mean, having said that, the person who has to make the Thanksgiving dinner does have to lay out a lot of dough.
Yes. Yes. I don't have any problem with it, but it is very unusual to see something like this.
They have a bouncer at the door? Velvet rope? Yeah.
They have a dress code?
Yeah.
But let's face it, if you, and I have no idea how big the family is, but a lot of people can't afford to put a meal together for 15 people, you know what I mean, for Thanksgiving. So there was a lot of pushback and a lot of people who were just shocked by this, that an aunt would be charging money. So he put up the menu. And I'm telling you what, I want to pay $30 and go to this aunt's house. I mean, it's essentially a restaurant prefix menu is what it is. White wine and herbs, marinated smoked turkey, honey-baked ham with orange bourbon glaze.
Wow.
Balsamic grief-built beef tenderloin, chicken and dressing with the giblet gravy, oyster dressing with oyster mushroom gravy. I mean, this is getting into some fancy stuff. Potato salad, yams, fried okra, fried green tomatoes, grilled fresh corn on the cob, black-eyed peas, carrot cake.
Where can I
red
put down my money?
Cake. I know, right? Lemon pound cake with citrus glaze. Listen to how many desserts there are. Strawberry daiquiris, cakes, turtle cakes, pecan pie. The list just goes on and on and on. I don't think she's charging enough.
Right?
You look at this menu and you go, man, that's a great deal for $30.
Either, and but if she has the money, maybe she's just trying to keep some people away. You know what I mean? Like, just send that to, like, four of the people that you don't want to come.
Hoping that the price is, you know what? I charged them $20 and they came last year.
Right.
But if I make it Bastards. 30 this year, maybe they'll curse my name and say no.
Next year it's 100.
Yep, if that's what it takes. So anyway, it's an interesting story, but and maybe someone will hear it and they'll think, hey, that's a good idea. I can make some money off of this Thanksgiving. You got people coming to your house? Time for a little donation jar at the door is what I'm
Pretty
saying.
Pretty smart. There's right. a neighbor of ours that always has us over, and she makes like three turkeys, and she loves it, but they're going to hit us up. Now I know it. Oh, this is going to suck. I'm going to have to eat it. Burger King. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let me be very clear. There is no excuse for this alleged behavior.
Oh.
Mm. It is Wednesday, but since you have tomorrow and a lot of people have Friday off, we're going to do the movie beat today.
Pretty much everybody, right, Chip, has Thursday and Friday off?
How dare you?
I keep saying to Chip, three-day week, yeah. How great is that? Five for me. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because it's Wednesday. We're going to talk to RJ Bell, which we normally do on Friday, but because it's a Friday-ish Wednesday, we're going to talk to him about his picks for the week 12 of the NFL.
NFL's dead to me.
Me too.
Same. Dan Gilroy will be on the program today talking. He's the writer and director of Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Oh, what a talented dude he is.
He's something. We normally do keep it 100 on Fridays. We're going to do it today.
Oh, wow.
As well. And Ashley Escada joins us today from CNET and tells us about net neutrality and how it matters or doesn't matter to us.
It matters a lot to us, and this is a bad, bad, bad thing that's about to happen.
Right.
And I'll ask Ashley, and I don't know if she knows this. I don't know that we have any control over it. These are not people – the people who are going to be voting on this are not people that we vote in and out of office. So I don't know what recourse the public has. If they get to make the decision, it's kind of on them.
Yeah, I can tell you none.
Okay. So none. we're just gonna sweat it for no reason then.
Yep.
All right. Let's do it.
That's happening. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
What's up with Florida? Coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Wednesday morning now. Rob is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
Yes. Is a city.
Yes.
In
yes.
Florida.
Right.
Uh-huh. And is the fourth most popular Thanksgiving destination this year.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Fourth most popular
Disney World?
Disney World, exactly.
Disney World?
A lot of families take their kids to Disney World. Celebrate the long holiday week. Everybody has off this week, right, Chip? Everybody has off?
Everybody.
Every
single person. Not a soul is working tomorrow or Friday.
Any guesses on where the rest of Americans are going?
The other Disneyland? Disneyland?
The other Disneyland.
Southern California?
Anaheim, California, seventh on the list. Kevin, seventh on the list. Anaheim, California, home of Disneyland.
Okay.
Good guess.
I'm going to say, just based on local folks who take advantage of a few days off, how about Las Vegas, Nevada?
Number one on the list is Las Vegas. It's the most traveled to destination of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Is that right?
I was in Las Vegas this weekend, as you guys know, and I was talking to
Bean
my
Uber driver. Gambling problem, by the way, you guys. It's time we told you.
Yeah, you should really know.
I was talking to my Uber driver, and the airport was just jammed. I was flying home on Sunday.
Tell me about the airport.
Oh, can you imagine that poor driver stuck in traffic?
We had a very nice chat.
I'd like to ask him about that.
From your perspective.
So I asked him, I said, is today the beginning
is today the beginning of a
super crazy, busy week in Las Vegas?
Busy weekend in Las Vegas?
And he said, yes, it's insane because it's people going both ways. It's people who want to come to Las Vegas for the big holiday weekend, but it's also people in Las Vegas taking advantage of the days off to go to all the other places in the world. So the airport is just, they got you know, coming and going. It's just, it's ridiculous there this week every year.
Good times.
Did he say, look around, what do you think? When you asked that question, is it going to be busy in Las Vegas this weekend?
No, because, I mean, I was just looking at that one day. I was just asking him to project ahead for me the rest of the week. I was just wondering what it was like. I have a lot of questions about a lot of things, you guys.
Oh, you do. Too many, some would say.
Las Vegas number one, Orlando number four. All right, how about the Big Apple? How about New York City as a destination?
Fifth on the list.
Is that because of the Macy's Parade, maybe?
Yeah. People like to kick off the holiday season in New York. It's a great time.
So second.
Yeah, and shopping is great there, too.
Would it make sense, or is it just...
They all make sense.
...other big cities?
Well, eight does, and it's weird, but I guess it's to visit old family.
Okay.
Old parents and grandparents. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
Is eighth on the list.
How about New Orleans, Louisiana?
Sixth on the list. I think someone's seen this list, by the way.
I have not seen that list, but that's...
Well, that's shocking that it's New Orleans.
It's a city that a lot of people visit.
I guess Las Vegas number one.
Are we missing two and three? Is that what we're missing?
You're missing two, three, nine, and ten.
Okay. How are we missing the second most?
Butte, Montana.
No. Butte, Montana.
What?
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
All right, now you're just being facetious.
He's trying to prove he doesn't have the list.
Yeah, exactly. Number 10, Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
On the list.
Because of the gum wall.
Right. People got to get a fresh piece of gum for the Thanksgiving meal. Number 9, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Is that right?
Goddamn right.
Wow, makes
all the sense in the
world.
That's
one that doesn't make any sense.
Awesome. Right. Number 3, San Diego, California.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And number 2, San Francisco, California. So, California representing there in the big holiday travel plans. Another day, another sexual predator.
Oh, man.
This time, Pixar animation head John Lasseter is taking a 6-month leave of absence from his company after allegations of misconduct recently emerged about him. Lasseter apparently was well known for frequently giving unwanted hugs and invading the personal space of his female employees. He would often put his hand on women's legs and thighs at meetings. Just wildly inappropriate, again, behavior.
Wow.
And this is the guy who gave us Toy Story and Cars and Nemo and Up and Frozen and Coco coming out this weekend. So they're asking him to go away for a while they look into this.
Why don't you take a little vacation for about 6 months?
Big deal for Disney Animation, by the way. He runs the whole thing right now, so kind of a big thing. And more details on the woman accused Ryan Seacrest of sexually inappropriate behavior. It's a woman.
You say woman?
I can't buy this story. I think we should throw this right out, right?
Right?
Right.
It's on.
Apparently, her lawyer met with Seacrest attorneys, and she demanded $15 million or she would send a press release to the media. She was his former stylist.
Okay.
10 years ago. And she claims Ryan engaged in various forms of demeaning and sexually aggressive behavior from 2007 to 2010.
You know how to make your charges look less credible? Is use them for blackmail.
Yeah, to go to the lawyers first and give me $15 million or I'm going to start saying these things about your client. So, plus, woman, right?
Right?
Come on. Not guilty, Your Honor. Reason of insanity. And you know, these musicals now, all they do is make these jukebox musicals, they're called, where they take a bunch of hits from a popular singer performer and then just string them together in a storyline and put it up on stage.
The Stained?
Stained exclamation point, the musical, yes. No, a new one has entered the sweepstakes to go to Broadway from the La Jolla Playhouse here in California. Just opened on Sunday. Summer. The Donna Summer musical.
Oh.
And instead of being strung together with a flimsy storyline that is built around the music, this is actually about Donna Summer's life. It's the story of her life.
Oh.
Three actresses play Donna Summers at various times in her career. And the reviews are in. saying it's the lack of playwriting imagination is startling, said the Los Angeles Times.
No.
If the program didn't state otherwise, I'd be sure the writing was outsourced to Wikipedia. That's a good review. And the music is great, apparently. The play itself, not so good, they're saying. So
I'll go ahead and skip to that.
You might want to skip. Summer! The Donna Summer musical. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Scarlett Johansson is 33 years old today.
I dated her once, remember?
Yeah. Being bid on a charity auction to meet her and walk the red carpet.
And won.
And won the auction, paid the money, and then didn't go.
Never bothered to meet her, hang out with her, walk the red carpet, none of it.
Yeah, it was a long way to go.
I mean, that's just stunning.
It's relentless, right?
Even for you, that is amazing.
How about that whole deal?
Right.
Mark Ruffalo is 50 years old. And Jamie Lee Curtis is 59 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a little bad animal voices coming up in minutes because it's Wednesday. First, though, how about a holiday movie beat?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Come on, Steve.
Right?
Hit it, will you?
How about hit it, Steve?
Hey, just want to give you a heads up while we're talking about movies. Roman J. Israel Esquire is opening up in a wider release this weekend. So if you were intrigued by it last week.
Look good.
But it wasn't in a theater near you.
Yeah.
This weekend you should be able to find it near you because it'll be in wider release. Dan Gilroy, the writer-director of that film, will be on the show in a little bit. And Denzel Washington, of course, stars along with Colin Farrell and Amanda Waring. Great cast. And that Denzel Washington, he can act a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's got a future.
I think you're right.
Good things for him. Let's look at the new films coming out this weekend for the long Thanksgiving Day weekend. Darkest Hour opens up today. The Darkest Hour is the story of England during the early days of World War II when the fate of Western Europe hung in the balance with this Hitler fella causing some troubles. In that part of the world. And there was a newly appointed prime minister named Winston Churchill who had a lot on his plate. And how he dealt with it is about is what this film's all about.
Winston Churchill, we'll fight them on the beaches, on the theaters, on our noses, and then victory. That's all.
Yeah. I'm going to see this movie, you guys.
No, you're not.
I really am.
No, I know you want to.
All right.
Gary Oldman.
Tell us afterwards.
Stars as Churchill. Lily James is also in the film. Kristen Scott Thomas and Ben Mendelsohn. Terrific cast. Here are some clips from the trailer of Darkest Hour.
You have the full weight of the world on your shoulders.
How many men will survive?
There's nothing patriotic in fighting to the end. Now is the time to negotiate.
When will the lesson be learned? You cannot reason with a tiger. When your head is in its mouth, we shall never surrender.
Dead. Never surrender.
For without victory,
dead.
There can be no survival.
You know what's so interesting to me, Ralph?
I should have played that role.
John Lithgow just won an Emmy for playing Winston Churchill on that Netflix series, The Crown, and he was almost unrecognizable in the role. He buried himself in it. And then Gary Oldman comes along and does the exact same thing. Looks completely different, but looks just as authentic. They're just such great actors, I'm saying.
So thumbs up to both.
Yeah.
Okay.
So John Lithgow, good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Gary Oldman,
good.
Also good.
Also good, yeah.
I got to make some notes here because I got to make
keep track of, that,
track of who's good.
Yeah.
That's in theaters everywhere today. The man who invented Christmas. Speaking of Britain, this guy, Charles Dickens, he had some hits. He wrote a couple books, including, of course, perhaps most famously. Well, Kevin, give me a couple.
The Grinch.
Give me a couple Dickens hits. The Grinch.
The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
I think that was Dr. Seuss. Charles Dickens is probably best known for a couple big novels. Big novels.
Hey, Santa, how about some toys?
That was one of them.
Right. I would read that.
But I'm thinking Oliver Twist, you could have said.
Sure, that too.
Tale of Two Cities.
But I was going with the lesser known ones. People might not have heard of.
Great Expectations?
Sure.
Any of these ring a bell? English major? Guy with a degree in English? Any of these?
I mean, yeah,
that's right.
Any of these just sparking the least, just a glimmer of memory.
Yeah, all are after you say them, but could I come up with them? No, not in a million years.
And, of course, the short story, A Christmas Carol, about Ebenezer Scrooge and the three ghosts that visit him on Christmas Eve, a timeless tale. Well, this is a humorous look at the potentially how that story came into the imagination of Charles Dickens. Christopher Plummer stars in the film. Dan Stevens plays Dickens. Jonathan Pryce, Simon Callow. Great cast. Here are some clips from the trailer.
So he's had a couple of flops.
It's about a miser, and on Christmas Eve, he meets some kind of supernatural guides.
Does it have a title?
Humbug, a Miser's Lament. Christmas ghost story, Christmas song, Christmas ballad, something like that.
Even if you'd already written it, we couldn't possibly get it printed and distributed in only 6 weeks.
If I can't finish it, I'll never write again.
I have to get to the printers by 9 o'clock.
But you still don't have an ending.
Merry, merry Christmas to one and all. That's enough. Back to work.
God bless us, everyone.
Aha! God bless us, everyone.
How many movies do you think have been made, Ralph, based on A Christmas Carol?
103.
I mean, seriously, though.
Four.
Dozens and dozens, I would think.
Four, and that's our top offer.
Okay.
Let me think. Well, the film, the story itself,
yes,
the literal translation of that has been filmed, I think, a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the musical versions, and then you get the modernized versions, like Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Sure, yeah.
And the TV movie versions, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess it would have to be almost 100 different versions.
And the Muppets, I think the Muppets had one,
too.
Muppets
did it, too, yeah. And, of course, Coco opens up this weekend. It is the Disney-Pixar story about a family confronted with trying to reunite on Dia de los Muertos in Mexico. And an aspiring musician named Miguel, little Miguel, is confronted with his family's ban on music. They won't let anyone in the family play music. He wants to know why, and he finds that it all has to do with his grandfather. It's getting rave reviews. Everyone's saying it's a terrific movie for kids and the whole family. Coco opens up today. Here are some clips from the trailer.
I know I'm not supposed to love music.
No music!
But my great-grandma Coco's father was the greatest musician of all time. One day, he left with his guitar and never returned. Now my family thinks music is a curse.
I know your great-great-grandpa.
Ooh.
I'll get you to him.
When there's no one left in the living world who remembers you, you disappear from this world.
But you can change that.
We gotta find my great-great-grandpa.
You gotta do it by sunrise.
What happens at sunrise?
You'll be stuck here forever. What?
You are all going to die tonight.
Never. Surrender. To the skeletons. In Mexico. Yes.
Coco.
I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco.
Right?
I don't think that's...
I think that's the same thing.
I don't think it has anything to do with this.
I think it's the same.
Film. That's nothing.
I think so.
It. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
Movie. We have a pair of tickets to go see the Ducks. They're playing the Jets at the Honda Center on Friday night. We've been doing it every day this week, including hot dogs and beers if you're 21 and up. And we have a great idea for today. We want you to listen for Kevin's famous, all-time great moment with talking about the Anaheim Ducks. By the way, point of history for Kevin and Bean fans, was that the first moment with? Do you guys know?
No, oh, who couldn't knows? Have been. The first one, I think we put a stamp on and sort of put it up on the shelf. But there was plenty of moments before we started
even
to recognize them as moments. Yes.
So we're going to be playing it sometime soon on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you hear Kevin talking about the longtime fan him, his tribute to the Anaheim Ducks, just be caller 20 and I guess we just have one pair of
that's
tickets.
That's correct,
yes. So just be caller 20 when you hear that anytime on K-Rock and you win tickets to see the Ducks Friday night.
Can we play it so people recognize it so they'll know what it is?
No, we have something else to do.
I haven't heard it in a while. I would like to hear it just one time.
We have something else to do here.
Just, this does not count for the contest, but this is what it sounds like so you can recognize it when you hear it.
Is that so he doesn't – are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
A strange amount of choices were made right there.
All right, it's Wednesday morning. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, right? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Woohoo!
I am all in.
Here are the stories that are on the wheel. The happiest dog in Scotland, so happy he wagged his tail off.
Oh, my.
The beagle with an ear cyst that looks like Donald Trump.
I've seen that photo, yes.
The raccoons that ate too much and got stuck in a sewer.
Oh.
The turkeys pardoned by President Trump for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Brutus, the emotional support squirrel. And the world's largest disco for crows in Albany.
Hold on.
The world's largest disco for crows.
So of all of the crow discos, this
yes,
is the largest one.
This is the one that you really want to be
this
at.
This is the impressive one. This wow. sheer size. Those other crow discos are right. just so small and
exactly.
cramped.
I hope it lands on that one so we can find more details.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah, let's do it, shall we?
It's time for the yeah. Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
About the crow disco, I'm also fascinated with the dog that wagged his tail so much he lost it. Spin the wheel and see what we got.
The turkeys pardoned by President Trump for Thanksgiving. Yeah! What are the chances it landed on that today? That's great news, everybody. That's really great news.
Is this
it's so timely?
Is this?
Because tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
No, we got it. We understand, Kevin. Right. Yes. I know there are a lot of things that the president has to do that are traditional. I know that there are some things that just come with the job, right? Having championship sports teams come into the Oval Office for a photo. That's just something you do as part of being the president. It's not a constitutional duty.
Everybody just accepts it.
It just accepts it. Okay. Is there anything the president is asked to do that is dumber than trotting out a couple of turkeys and pardoning them Thanksgiving week?
No. There's nothing more inane.
It doesn't make any – it's not like it's his way of trying to get people to not eat turkeys. It's not – it doesn't have anything to do with with animal rights. It doesn't have anything to do with farming. It has nothing to do with anything other than, okay, we have randomly selected these two turkeys that aren't going to be eaten. Now go out and eat 100 million of them.
But all of you in the United States, go out and enjoy the rest of those turkeys.
I don't get it, but we do have some tape from the ceremony that was held at the White House yesterday. Here's our president.
How heavy is that turkey?
36 pounds.
36 pounds. It's a big bird. Do I have to touch it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Do I have to touch it?
I feel so good about myself.
All right, stop right there. I know that the president gets a courtesy laugh. They always do. But I feel so good about myself. What does he mean there, do you think?
I think he means that he's embarrassed to be doing something so stupid.
All right,
honestly,
could be.
I do.
Okay. Drumstick. You are hereby pardoned.
Yay for Drumstick. Let's applaud.
Drumstick and his friend Wishbone will live out their days at Gobbler's Rest. There they'll join Tater and Tot, the two turkeys pardoned last year by President Obama. As many of you know, I have been very active in overturning a number of executive actions by my predecessor.
All right, let's make the pardoning of the turkeys political.
Right.
And B, if you're going to overturn something, how about this?
However, I have been informed by the White House counsel's office that Tater and Tot's pardons cannot, under any circumstances, be revoked. So we're not going to revoke them.
Okay. It's a tradition that goes back on and off to President Lincoln, by the way. But it may seem dumb to us, but imagine what great news it is for Drumstick and Wishbone, who will live to see another
right?
day.
Right, because they understand everything.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we have their handlers on the line or if we have somebody from the turkey farm, but somebody's joining us now to discuss the presidential turkey pardon. Hello there.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi, it's Kevin DeBincio, K-Rock Radio. I'm not sure who we have on the line, sir.
Drumstick, man.
Drumstick? Oh, you're Drumstick.
I'm
oh, you're
drumstick.
One of the... You're pardoned turkey.
I'm Drumstick, bitch.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, on what?
On being pardoned, on the president pardoning you yesterday so you don't end up on somebody's plate tomorrow.
That's not happening.
What are you talking about? It already happened yesterday.
No, yeah, but he took it back. The president took the pardon back.
Did he?
Now me and Wishbone, we got to go back into the pen.
Oh, wait, so now you might
still be selected for somebody's Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, we're probably going to die.
Oh, this is awful.
Wow. This is awful.
This is taking a turn.
Yeah. Donald Trump said that my dad didn't appreciate enough that he pardoned me and got me out of jail.
Is that right?
Oh, no. He didn't thank him enough.
Your stupid dad.
My stupid dad did not thank Donald Trump enough on social media and in other public forums. Now, Donald Trump is all butthurt about not getting enough love from my dad, and now I got to go back into jail. He said, I should have left those turkeys in jail.
Oh, no.
Now I don't have no pardon. I'm going to be dinner.
This is terrifying. This is awful news. Really bad news.
It's awful news.
Do you have any kind of a plan?
I'm going to be eaten because my stupid dad.
Yeah, and he's yapping about everything else.
Everything. Right. Trying to get me a shoe line and things, but he won't get me out of prison. Now I'm going to be eaten. My giblets going to be eaten. My breast's going to be eaten.
Right.
My drumstick's going to be eaten.
Yeah. Oh, that's no good.
That's no good for drumsticks.
Did the president at any point immediately after the ceremony take an unusual amount of credit, though, for pardoning you?
He did. He keeps talking about it all the time. I got those out. I got those turkeys out. They're so lucky. I'm the best because those turkeys won't be eaten. That's all he keeps talking about over and over again. And my dad's like, so what? Turkeys. Got turkeys out. Doesn't
Why
matter.
Is your dad such a dick?
What's wrong with my dad?
Right?
Why now I got to be eaten because my dad?
Well, I hate to say happy Thanksgiving because I don't think it's going to be
It's not going to be for me.
No, I'm afraid it's not.
Damn! I hate my dad.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
We head out to Las Vegas. Coming up next, right after the top of the hour, talk to RJ Bell about the Thanksgiving games tomorrow and other picks for NFL Week 12. Ralph, Eagles playing this weekend at some point?
Yes. Sunday.
Who are you playing?
Playing the Chicago Bears at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia.
So then you'll be 10-1.
Well, look, any given Sunday, you never take any game for granted because trap games happen all the time in this league, and it's a very dangerous world out there.
Except the Dolphins play the Patriots.
Oh, well, that's a given. That's a slam dunk. Sell the house.
You can take that one for granted.
Yeah, you can make a lot of money this weekend.
So, RJ Bell coming up first. Ralph's got the show. Be heard on Wednesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's new?
Ah, sad news. We lost one of the greats. David Cassidy?
You were a big fan of Mr. Cassidy.
No, I love David Cassidy. Growing up as a kid watching those Partridge Family reruns, that just looked like the life, being Keith Partridge.
Yeah.
David Cassidy had that feathered hair and those puka shells, those bell bottoms. All the girls wanted to hang with him. Then he got on his bus with his family, went out there, was a rock star. Come on now, it's a song that we're singing. Make you happy. Oh, come on. What life? What a better life than that for anyone? There was none.
I was thinking last night when I heard the news, very sad news, and I was thinking there are a lot of people who listen to our show may have no idea how big David Cassidy was, but trust me when I tell you that he was Bieber-esque.
Yes.
Picture Bieber at his peak. That's how big David Cassidy was for a couple of years.
That's a great analogy between how successful he was in the early 70s to Justin Bieber, and hit after hit. Of course, it helped him have a hit TV show to help sell his songs. But even if you don't know the show, if you're not familiar with David Cassidy's work, you probably know this hit.
I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for. I think I love you, isn't that what life is made of?
Cassidy was on that show with his real-life stepmother, Shirley Jones, who played his mom on that show. And he sang the lead on all the Partridge Family songs. He was backed up by a studio musicians. None of the other cast members sang or played. But he was the real deal and continued to work until just recently when he had to retire from being on the road because of ill health. He was 67 years old. And we met him once. We did a big K-Rock event where we took everybody to Vegas.
That was good times.
Singles party, I think.
Singles party in Vegas, and then we all got to watch David Cassidy's live show in Vegas.
That was pretty cool.
And Kevin ditched us. He refused.
What?
He refused to go to the show.
You got your stories mixed
up. And to the meet and greet backstage because he said,
There's still vodka in Vegas, right? Alcohol still exists? Okay, I'll see you tomorrow in the broadcast.
He is a dick.
And Kevin just took off, just bolted.
I didn't want to see that.
We were like, Mr. Cassidy's being kind enough to invite us to say hello to him and help us host
and
this party
did.
For
And you guys did. It was great.
Come back and shake
you guys
the man's
had a great
hand.
Time.
Just shake the man's hand and say thank you. That's all you have to do.
He made it possible for us to take those listeners to that
scene. And I'm appreciative of that. It's a little too late to be appreciative of it now.
He was very nice backstage, too. He was very kind.
Sure. Very nice.
Not to tell me.
I don't know if we got any pictures. Did we ever get any pictures of us and David Cassidy?
That's funny if you didn't.
I don't think I did. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
And you also are a big fan of the second generation, right? Of his daughter, Katie, you love as well.
Yes, of course, Katie, you know, as the now Black Siren on Arrow. She was the Black Canary on Arrow. She was also on Melrose Place when they rebooted that series. Very lovely and talented actress. So,
her I like a lot.
Sad news.
You would bother to say hello to.
I would go to her show because, you know.
It's David Cassidy.
Boobies. Boobies. That's still boobies, right?
But there's gambling and there's alcohol. I'm going to go meet David Cassidy.
So it was like a 50-minute show.
Yeah.
It was like, just sit back, relax, enjoy yourself.
50 minutes of gambling.
Yeah, because you're so good at it.
How dare you?
All right, this is the best showbiz story in the history of showbiz stories.
Wow.
And I have no one to thank for it but Beer Mug. He sent this to me.
Wow.
Are you familiar with this LeVar Ball story?
Which one?
Well, he's basketball dad number one.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is upset with him because he didn't give him enough love over getting his son, LiAngelo Ball, out of trouble there in China when he was arrested for shoplifting.
Trump started before they got back saying that they better thank him.
Right. How great I am. They're so lucky that I was there. And they better thank me a lot because they better love me.
Right.
So the athletes themselves, the three from UCLA, did in fact thank Donald Trump.
Each one.
Yes. But LeVar did not give an appropriate amount of appreciation to President Trump. And I believe that's actually probably true. I don't back President Trump on many things, but in this particular case, this guy really should have been thankful that anyone intervened on behalf of his kid because they take that kind of stuff, shoplifting, seriously in China, and he could have been in some serious trouble.
Yeah.
So anyone who intervened on his behalf should have been the recipient of a ton of thanks from this guy.
Agreed.
Yeah, but he's not built that way.
If you're a parent, be grateful. Right.
So LeVar Ball, not a broad appreciation with him from Trump or Trump's followers or the Trumpeteers, the Trumpsters.
They're called the Trumpeteers.
I don't know what they're called, but they're a clever, clever batch. They're a bunch of smarties, I'll tell you that much. They are very with it and intelligent and clever. And that's why they are bombarding the Twitter account of LeVar Burton. Yes, LeVar Burton, host of TV's Reading Rainbow, Geordi LaForge from Star Trek The Next Generation.
He's got to be 90 by now.
He's just in his 60s,
I
think.
He's got to be 60 by now.
But he is getting bombarded with hate tweets and emails from Donald Trump followers. You're a has-been actor with a thief for a son, and Trump is the president of the United States. Get the picture? Wrote Mark Conte via Twitter. Everyone thinks that LeVar Burton is the father of LiAngelo Ball, who got in trouble in China, and that LeVar Burton isn't giving the president enough love.
That's awesome.
Washed up actor? Check. Son caught stealing in China? Check. Trump still president? Check. Said another angry tweet. LeVar Burton very classily replied, one of the many slights I'm having to endure these days. Thanks. On his Twitter feed. So LeVar Burton and LeVar Ball are not the same.
They're not the same person.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
The point of my story. Oh, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Lee Curtis is 59 years old today. Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk, he's 50. And actress Scarlett Johansson celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a Wednesday that feels like a Friday, so that means it's time for RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ
is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press with all the picks for college and pro. And every week on the show, RJ gives us some picks. And I was so fascinated to see how the Cleveland Browns screwed you yet again, RJ. You keep going back to them and they keep disappointing you. Tell us how bad it was for you on this week's Browns game.
Well, first, we got to love that we can have one of the worst beats of the season and still have a winning week. So let's just sit back and we're talking about what we give thanks for. Let's give thanks to that.
Another 2-1 week for Mike.
Another 2-1
okay.
week.
Acknowledged.
But, wow, we were +8 or so, +7.5 with the Browns. Makes sense, right? Underdog. Down 6, so we're great. They've got the ball with like a minute 50. The odds of us winning, and you know the math guys in Vegas can assess this, 97% that we're going to cover the spread. But it's the Browns, so I think it was about 50-50, and it went against us very painful.
But RJ, that happens to you every single time with the Browns.
You know something? This is one of those examples. I'll give you a quick example. Right. My grandfather's 95. He was, at 85, he was still probably had more energy than me. But then one day he climbed a ladder with no one helping him. It slipped. He fell. He cracked his head. He's been slower since, right? Because he got hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can sit and lament that and say, oh, isn't that horrible? But him climbing that ladder is why he was in such amazing shape when he was 85. So right. In a way, the Browns are like me cracking my head. But my willingness to bet the Browns is why I'm a professional.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
That was off the cuff, by the way.
I'm not sure I'm buying that, but I am interested in your big dog pick because you're going after it full force today.
Yeah, well, listen, the Browns aren't enough of an underdog for us. The biggest dog of the season, Miami Dolphins +17, hosting the Patriots. Now, listen, Miami has a 4-6 record. That's pretty good, but they really could be the worst team in the NFL. I am not denying that.
Right.
But listen, we're getting the most points of the season. I'm fine with that. Here's our edge. Belichick, coach of the Pats, does not worry about style points like a lot of coaches trying to impress their owner, trying to psych up the team. Belichick is like that guy in that bourbon commercial in the bikini shorts. It's like 260 walking along the beach.
Right.
He doesn't care what anyone thinks. His goal is the Super Bowl. He has no desire to run it up here. That's edge number one. But here's why it's more powerful. Last week, they started the Patriots, a 10-day trip. We talked about it. The Pats were one of our picks. They went to Denver, stayed in Colorado, then went to Mexico City. It was like a second training camp. Well, they were prepping for the altitude and all kind of stuff for that Mexico City game. The aftermath of that, Belichick says his team's never been this tired. He's so mad he had to take this trip. I think they're going to be even slower than usual. They don't want to rush this game and play fast because they're tired. I think this is going to be a slow, low-scoring game, which means the points mean even more.
Interesting.
Big dog, +17, Miami Dolphins.
And remarkably in the past, I have nothing in front of me, RJ, but my memory, if it serves me correctly, haven't the Patriots had more trouble with the Dolphins in recent years than we would have expected versus other teams in their division?
You know, Buffalo, too, a little bit. So they win, right? But there's usually closer games. When teams in the same division are more familiar, it's hard to trick each other, and thus the games tend to be close.
Chip, your Dolphins against the Patriots?
They usually split the series every year.
Every year?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? All right. All right, so Dolphins
still a
plus
terrible pick.
Chip, okay. Oh, thank you. Chip approved.
All right, let's move on to the best bet. You've got the Colts hosting the Tennessee Titans.
All right, we're going with the Colts +3.5 here. This is an overrated team versus an underrated team. Tennessee is 6-4, and if you look at like the popularity polls and such, they're about number 12 in the NFL. We think they're closer to 20, number 20, so they're overrated. Tennessee, in any short season, a couple of bounces here and there can really change a team's record. And one of the reasons Tennessee is inclined to get the benefit of the doubt is Marcus Mariota. This is a big-name player, obviously from the West Coast, but he has literally regressed this season. His third season is supposed to be a breakaway, breakout-type season. He's playing worse than he did last year. Now, the Colts, Andrew Luck out for the year. They are obviously, the Colts, much worse than expected at the beginning of the season. But they're better now than people think, because there's this, oh, dismiss them because Luck is out and the record's not that good. They're a little bit, the Colts, underrated right now. It's that simple in this game. We're taking the 3.5 at home. That's our best bet on the Colts.
And finally, with RJ Bell from Las Vegas, pregame.com, the big game of the week is the Lions hosting the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, this is the Thanksgiving Day game. We're taking Detroit +3 against Minnesota. Detroit's defense is better than it's been in years. Their offense is healthier than it's been all season. Plus, and this is important, you guys love these kind of inside football. They're used to these Thanksgiving games. This is a very unusual situation. You're playing on a short week. You're playing on a holiday. They play every year, the Lions, on Thanksgiving. They've won 4 straight of these Thanksgiving games, and they've covered the spread 5 straight Thanksgiving games. Now, let's look at Minnesota, on the other hand. They played on Sunday, probably their toughest game of the year against the Rams. It was a heck of a game, and they won. So they celebrate Sunday night, let's say. Monday, they recover. Tuesday, let's say they prepare for the game. Fine. Wednesday, they travel. And then on Thursday, they have to play at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. This is the first game. You've never seen, and even the Thursday night games aren't like this during the normal season. This is unlike anything a team ever deals with. This is why we win year after year here on Kevin and Bean. These kind of tips, Detroit. +3
All right. So Dolphins +17 at New England, Indianapolis Colts +3.5 hosting Tennessee, and Detroit +3 hosting the Vikings. By the way, before we close out, just because the Rams stumbled a little bit, you mentioned against Minnesota last weekend, the Saints appear to be an unstoppable freight train at this point. How are you feeling about them Sunday, briefly?
This is the game of the week. I mean, to me, the line is Rams by 2.5. The Rams home field is about 2.5. So it's Saints. Saints and Rams are even teams. And there's one advanced sabermetric site that says even after last week, the Rams are the best team in football. I think they have a chance literally to win the Super Bowl.
How about that? Wow. Okay. RJ Bell, by the way, you can hear him weekly on the Adam Carolla podcast. He has his own podcast, too, called RJ Bell's Dream Preview. The website is pregame.com, and you can follow Mr. Bell on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We'll do it again next Friday. Thank you, RJ.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Hey, keep listening for Kevin's Moment With, talking about being a Ducks fan long time. Him, when you hear it play at any time on the Kevin and Bean Show, be caller 20 and win tickets to see Anaheim hosting the Winnipeg Jets this Friday at Honda Center. By the way, weird coincidence, playing Everlong.
Right?
Those Foo Fighters have that girl in the band who always sings that song.
Remember that crazy girl that rushed the stage?
I do remember that when they were here for breakfast with Foo Fighters in the sound space. Hey, Ashley Escada, how are you, my dear?
You guys are the worst.
It was a complete coincidence that that song came up. It must have been so weird for you even hearing it again on hold.
So weird, you guys. So weird.
So, listen, I'm so glad you're on. Ashley is our friend who's the senior editor at CNET. Whenever we have complicated issues that we're dum-dums and we need a professional grown-up to explain to us, we go to Ashley. And this is certainly one of those. Everybody online today will see the words net neutrality. Many of us don't completely understand what's going on, but I feel like something bad is about to happen. I'm hearing like ominous Darth Vader music. What's going on, Ashley?
Okay, so net neutrality is the idea that all traffic on the internet is created equal, right? So you can go to any legal website that you want within the confines of how fast your internet speeds are, right? Okay, so the idea of taking away net neutrality, which is the FCC would like to repeal some of the regulations that are in place that keep that traffic on a level playing field. So imagine, and I'm not saying this is what would happen, but I think that we can say we've all had very frustrating experiences with our internet companies trying to nickel and dime us. So it doesn't seem very far-fetched to imagine something like using the internet in the way we used to use cable. So maybe Comcast or Verizon or AT&T or whoever says, well, here are your internet packages, and you can pay this much, and you get access to these websites. And then if you want to pay a little bit more, then we give you access to maybe, oh, Reddit. And then, oh, if you want to pay more, if you want streaming services, well, we've got to pay more for that, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so it's the idea that, that not all traffic is created equal would allow telecommunications companies like Cox, Charter, Verizon, all these companies, to really analyze your viewing habits and their customers' viewing habits on the internet, their web surfing habits, and then say, okay, well, you know, we really want, say, Netflix. This is a really good example. Let's say Comcast, who has NBC Universal owns a share of Hulu. Let's say they go, you know, we'd really like to stick it to Netflix. Without net neutrality, they would be able to do that by saying, well, if you want Netflix and you're using Comcast internet, you would have to pay extra. And on top of that, there's still going to be a limit on how fast your Netflix is going to be. It's probably not going to be that great of an experience. But if you want to use Hulu, well, that we don't charge extra.
Gotcha. Okay, but here's what I don't get, though. This is not a thing that we, the people, the citizens, can vote on, right? This is something that's going to be decided by some appointed executives. Right? That's probably not the right word, representatives or whatever for the FCC. So what's the incentive for them? Like, what's the positive that they can say out loud to why they would overturn net neutrality? What is their explanation of why this is good for the people?
So the argument that FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai is using is that by repealing or rolling back these regulations that were put in place, that it would enable telecom companies to be able to expand infrastructure. And, you know, these were regulations that really hurt the rollout of additional infrastructure in the way of, like, more internet, better cell phone towers, things like that. So that's the argument they're making. However, you have to take with a grain of salt, Ajit Pai used to be a lawyer for Verizon. So it's like, it's a really kind of, it's kind of tricky here. So you have to really think about, you know, how we want to use the internet going forward. And there's been an argument for a really long time about making the internet very similar to telephone lines, which is called common carrier. And so it's sort of a dumb pipe. And that makes it, like, it's very heavily regulated. You can't mess with it. But the thing is because our internet is not a common carrier, it's not classified as common carrier, this is why we keep having these problems. So we've seen bills like SOPA and FISPA try to go through, and we had a big groundswell of, you know, people being, you know, rising up about that against those things. And then now we have this. And unfortunately, like you said, we can't make we can't threaten the FCC commission with not voting them in, because these are appointed positions, and the swing is 3-2, like, in favor of repealing these regulations. So it's possible that they will do this, and so it's actually really, it's pretty likely.
Is there any way that it's good?
You know, I would say usually in things like this, like, maybe, like, but for me, like, my personal opinion is that, like, a free and open internet is paramount. And the thing is these types of, you know, repeals of regulations, like, disproportionately affect people who don't make a lot of money.
Right.
Who, you know, or senior citizens, people who need access to the internet, they need information, schools, libraries. I mean, these are institutions that don't have a lot of money to be, you know, paying through the nose because they want their students or, you know, their senior citizens at a center to be able to access the internet.
Look, I understand that nothing is free and these companies have every right to make money that provide our internet. But I do think we are at the point in 21st century America where the internet should be treated like a utility. I mean, I think it should be as accessible to everybody as water and power is. But
that's what common carrier would be. A dumb pipe. It would be pretty much classified as a utility.
Is this a partisan issue? Is it a Democrats versus Republican issue?
I say no, and I said this yesterday on Twitter. This is, to me, not a political issue, because you could ask your crazy liberal cousin who's really into, you know, activism and everything, how would they feel if a company like Cox or Charter said, you know what, we really don't love what Democracy Now! Is doing, or the ACLU, so we're just gonna block their webpage from our, we're just not going to include them in our internet packages. And the same goes for anybody on the far right. Like, if somebody is really into Fox News and let's say Time Warner says, you know what, we really want people to watch CNN. And they say, we're just not going to include Fox News. I mean, it's access to all of the internet. It doesn't matter what side you're on.
I was afraid that your answer to "Is there any way that this could be good?" would be no. I was afraid of that. That's not.
The answer is like no, it's not really good. Like I think that the internet should be open and free, and you should be able to visit whatever sites you want. I don't think it's fair. If anybody really wants to care out there, Kevin and Bean listeners, we all know how much we love porn. And, like, you know, what happens when your carrier says, well, we find that inappropriate, and we're just not going to – you don't get access to that.
Hey, you just got my attention, Ashley. I didn't realize this is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's really serious. You know, we need our porn, guys. Like, we need it.
Right?
Exactly.
Bean just started paying attention 6 minutes in.
Just woke up.
Just a second. Just woke up. All right, well, thank you for
– The best thing anybody can do is John Oliver actually has a great segment on net neutrality, and you should go watch it if you haven't seen it. It's really informative, and it will help you make decisions about how to get involved.
Thank you for explaining that to us. We appreciate it, and I'm sure it'll be coming up on CNET.com as well. Look for Ashley Escada there, the senior editor. Always great to have you on. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you soon, okay? All right, next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show has written movies you love, like The Bourne Legacy and Kong Skull Island. Also, he wrote and directed the brilliant Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, and he is back with a new film opening wide everywhere today called Roman J. Israel, Esquire, one of the strangest movie titles of the year, and it looks so good. Let's welcome Dan Gilroy to the show. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, how are you, man? Listen, I thought we had the longest title until I saw Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
All right.
Whatever. They beat us.
That was a worse title, correct.
It was great. Worse was longer.
Great
it
movie.
Definitely longer, yeah. Dan, has the word Esquire ever appeared in a motion picture in the entire history of Hollywood? It ever appeared in the title of a film?
I can categorically say I do not know. I don't think it has. But I got to tell you, the reason I put it on there, I think I'm intrigued with people who put Esquire at the end of their names. I think it's like a really cool sort of little touch at the end. So
I'm going to start doing that then.
But I think
you have to
be an attorney, though, don't you, to be an Esquire? No?
I think possibly you do, but I don't know if that's a set rule.
Okay. So, now, you wrote this for Denzel. You wrote this for Denzel Washington, not knowing or having met him, right?
I didn't meet him. I've always wanted to work with him. I came up with the idea for this character. I spent a year writing the script. I wasn't paid to write it. And I decided halfway through that if Denzel didn't want to do it, I wasn't going to do the movie.
You're a horrible businessman.
I was going to say, my agents and other people were advising me not to do it. The end of the story was I sent it to him. He was about to do Fences. I flew to New York. And we had lunch. And I'm an hour into the lunch where I'm trying to figure out what he's going to do. He sticks out his hand. He says, let's do this movie together.
Wow.
So I went out and had a couple of drinks.
You had no backup actor in your mind at all if he said no. I mean, there wasn't any part of you, Dan, that thought, well, there's always Carrot Top?
Carrot Top was in the running.
Sure.
But I couldn't get him on the phone. So
I see.
So it was difficult. I couldn't actually go down that path. But no, Denzel was like, it was so written specifically for him. And when you see the movie, you'll see why. He just inhabits it. He transforms himself. He becomes this entire other person. And I just knew it was going to go there. And
it looks amazing. It's just it seems like such a terrible plan to work on something for a year and not know.
Yeah.
It's true, man. Like, I'm a gambler. I like to take chances once in a while. And sometimes they pay off. And sometimes this time it did. But it was a nerve-wracking lunch trying to figure out through the first hour whether he was going to sort of commit to it or not.
Is there any part of you, now you've been in show business for a long time, you've worked with a lot of stars, is there any part of you that gets nervous or humbled or skittish around somebody like Denzel Washington, who not only is one of the best actors of all time, but is also such an accomplished director, and here you are kind of being his boss?
Yeah, you know what's where nervous about working with like Denzel or Jake or people like that? They work at a really high level and a high standard, and you really have to be prepared. It's like every day is game day when you're working with them. So it's not so much like you're nervous about, like, oh, they're stars or something. It's more like they're gonna hold you. They're gonna ask questions. They're gonna want to know things. They're so specific. You've got to do your homework.
So you have to step up your game to work with Denzel Washington.
Oh, you absolutely do. This guy Denzel. There's a reason why he's Denzel. He's utterly focused. He's got this incredible way of approaching characters. This is absolute serious work for him, and you do have to step up your game. Every minute you're working with him, you have to be paying attention in a good way.
We're talking to writer-director Dan Gilroy here on the Kevin DeBean Show about his film. It's going wider in theaters all over Southern California today, called Roman J. Israel, Esquire. One of the things that I read, an interview you did recently, Dan, you talked about how you are attracted to people who believe in something, and that's what your title character is. He's a guy who is committed and believes in things. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, look, man, I'm in awe of anybody who spends part of their day or part of their time trying to make the world a better place. And somebody believes like we share like a humanity, and we should be toward making, you know, all of our lives better somehow. So activism, as an example. So this character really, in many ways, is a stand up and an homage to people who spend their days, you know, in service of other people. And because I don't do enough, probably I feel guilty about it at times. And I think this film, in a way, is me trying to address that and use the tools that I have to. Look, if you see the film, hopefully you'll take this character with you, and he might inspire you as you're moving through your day.
I sometimes feel like most attorneys, most lawyers do not get into that field because they're legitimately trying to help people. So when somebody comes along like this, it seems so idealistic. I wonder how many real-life Roman J. Israels there are in the world.
Esquire.
I don't think there's many. You know, as you know, most of them go into criminal law or become prosecutors or go into corporate law. There's a small group that go into environmental law, civil rights law, you know, trying to improve education or the prison system or economic equality or housing. There's not a large group, and you know why? It doesn't pay very much.
Yeah. I assume there are more that want to do that, but then they realize it pays so little and the other side pays so well that they then change and go that way.
And that's the thing about the character of Roman Israel. This is a guy who for 40 years has sacrificed. He could have been a partner. He could be driving the Tesla. He could have the great watch, but he's committed himself to a path that's given him no money. He's not getting many accolades, and he finds himself at the beginning of the movie in a place where am I now 40 years into this, and what's the price of this been, and do I want to keep doing this? You know, that's the question.
Well, we're so excited about it. Thanksgiving holiday weekend is here. You're looking for something to do. This is the film for you, a chance to see the great Denzel Washington up on screen. By the way, Colin Farrell doesn't get enough credit for being the great actor that he is as well. I bet he was fun to work with, I bet, Dan.
Oh, Colin was great, man. A deep, soulful Irishman. Great guy. Just a great hand.
And funny. He's such a funny dude in real life, too.
Oh, he's just, he turns it on. Charming, funny. Well, you know, he's just got that great vibe going. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of your listeners that have probably seen most, if not all, of Denzel's films. I can promise you, you've never seen Denzel like this before.
Can't wait.
Exciting, yeah.
Roman J. Israel, Esquire, in theaters everywhere. Dan, great to have you on the show. Have a great holiday weekend, my friend. We'll talk again.
Real pleasure, man.
L.A. NOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Rob is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Sad that you guys missed out talking to him. Dan Gilroy without talking about his greatest achievement.
His greatest achievement?
Greatest. It has to be Nightcrawler.
Yeah, we mentioned
greatest
Nightcrawler.
Cinematic Jake achievement Gyllenhaal of all movie? Time that he was involved think. In. Probably what he's most proud of,
I would think. Writing the King Kong Skull Island?
No, the biggest acclaim, the biggest smash hit.
Bourne Legacy, maybe?
He wrote the first screen role for a young actor named Ralph Garman.
In
two for the money, bitches.
Does he still put that on his IMDb page?
You son of a bitch.
It's Bobby.
It wasn't Bobby.
No.
Damn it.
It's Morgan.
I was Reggie.
Reggie, sorry. We don't have a Reggie jingle.
Oh my God.
Gotta get a Reggie jingle.
That
Come
was...
on, me, Pacino. McConaughey, Jeremy Piven, Rene Russo.
Oh, I forgot that he was married to Rene Russo, too, right?
He is married
In real
to
life,
Russo.
Dan Gilroy is.
Yeah, yeah.
When? That was a long time ago, man. But we have a lot of listeners to this show probably have no idea you co-starred in a film with Al Pacino.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Al, how'd you like working with Rob?
Oh, I'll tell you. This kid, he is so talented. We would do scenes together. And he'd bring a tear to my eye.
Why do you think most of those scenes were cut out, Al?
Because he was so bad, he brought a tear to my eye. Two for the money.
Two for the money.
Two for the money.
No, man. You don't know. Charlie Rose, he's got a lot of splaining to do. This guy, had 8 women come forward and have complaints of sexual harassment from him. He was walking around nude in front of them inappropriately, grabbing them, lewd phone calls. Well, now 2 more women have come forward at CBS, where he was working on CBS this morning,
man,
to also say that they were victims.
Are we idiots for being so surprised by all this?
We talked about this yesterday. We touched on it a little bit, and I got a lot of not damning at all emails and tweets from women who said, you mentioned that you did not know how widespread this was.
Yeah.
It just shows how out of touch men are for what women have to go through. No women are surprised by the widespread nature of these allegations, and seemingly all men are.
Hmm.
So women are going through this constantly all the time their entire lives, and men are just clueless. And so it's an embarrassment that men who don't behave like this aren't aware of the men that do, and then, more importantly, don't take whatever steps are necessary to stop it. And I think that's what we need to dedicate ourselves to now. But
I think you're right, and I think although I knew that there were pigs like this, I was stunned that Charlie Rose was among them. Just because it's easy to, you know,
well,
you think you know something about their personal lives because of their professional lives, and oftentimes those have nothing to do with one another.
Well, first and foremost, we need to acknowledge that this isn't a situation that is solely owned by the entertainment industry. Those are just the ones in the news because that's what makes for sexy headlines.
Right.
This happens across the board in every industry.
Yeah, there's a construction foreman out there being fired for the same thing right now. It just won't make the papers.
Or not being fired. Right. Or they're covering it up. Or they're saying, oh, it was just locker room talk. Or whatever BS thing you want to use now to try to skirt around this issue. But it is surprising, I think, when someone who is seemingly smart and considered and considerate and well-mannered and thoughtful, when that person is exposed to one of these monsters, it really does take people back.
This was locker room talk.
Harvey Weinstein doesn't surprise anybody. Brett Ratner doesn't surprise anybody. Charlie Rose, yes, I think people were surprised. John Lasseter, head of Pixar Animation, Disney Animation, he's now having to take a 6-month sabbatical because of investigations into his behavior at Pixar and Disney. Unwanted hugs, kissing women on the mouth in meetings. They would warn them, say, be careful, he likes to just walk up and kiss you on the mouth. Women would have to learn how to turn their heads quickly to avoid it. Grabbing legs, thighs in meetings, drinking heavily, and then hitting on women, just all kinds of behavior.
Wow.
And this is at freaking Disney, right? You figure, wholesome family entertainment company, you're safe. There is no safe place. Very frustrating. All right, let's move on to happier news. David Lynch has a new jewelry collection.
All right.
Finally. I've been dying to buy some David Lynch necklaces, and now they're available. They are all based, as you can imagine, on his Transcendental Meditation Foundation.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
All the money raised from this jewelry collection will go towards the David Lynch Foundation. And each piece of jewelry features the meditating eye, which is his logo. Yeah, man.
Right?
I think if you go to the David Lynch Foundation, you find something bad's going on there. I just got a sense because it's David Lynch. Something's up, right? It's all cotton candy and lemonade on the surface, but something else is going on. Let me get
there. Oh, my God. Really?
Right? That's what I'm saying. Would you like to buy one of my necklaces? It has the meditating eye on it.
Yeah, I'll decline that one.
Yeah. Sad news, David Cassidy has passed away. TV star, singer. He was the star of the Partridge Family TV series back in the 70s. Made him a big, big hit. He passed away at the age of 67 years old from organ failure yesterday. So that was sad news. Wasn't it?
Yep, very, very much so. Too young to die.
Yeah. And real quickly, I have a couple minutes, so I want to get on this. It's not exactly show business, but it caught my eye. And I just said, oh, this is not going to end well. Did you hear about the guy here in California who's decided to launch himself into space in his homemade rocket?
No.
Yeah.
This is the flat earth guy?
This is Mike Hughes. He is a self-professed flat earther. He has built himself a steam rocket made out of scrap parts, he said.
I'm okay with this, suddenly.
And he's going to launch himself into the air to prove that the earth is flat. He built a steam-powered rocket out of several salvaged parts he found on a five-acre property that he leases in Apple Valley, California. And he's going to shoot himself up into space to prove what he knows to be true, that the Earth is flat as a pancake.
Now, does he not believe the thousands of other people who have already taken that journey and already taken that photo? Are they all faking?
Yes.
I mean, that has to be the cause.
It's the conspiracy.
Right, but he will
expose this conspiracy. Yes, they're all on board. They're all selling the same lie, Beam.
Do you think he'll go into orbit?
Well, no. I don't know where space is. Where's orbit in terms of space? I'm trying to remember.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space to prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah, of course
they
do.
Where do you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
Where do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
Kevin.
How can I take the headline away from B.O.B.?
Where do you think the orbit around a planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Some would say just short of space, but go ahead.
Yeah, because that's what you're shooting for. Mike Hughes said he will launch his rocket from his mobile home, where he currently lives.
What could go wrong with this whole plan?
Originally, Cape Canaveral was thinking about using a mobile home for their launch, but they decided to go with a whole space.
We can all see how this is going to end. His mobile home is just going to blow up, right? That's it. There's no rocket. There's no anything.
He says it's scary as hell, says Mike. None of us are getting out of this world alive, he says. He should have said no one's got out of this flat world alive if he really believed his cause. Saturday, by the way, is the date for the launch. So let's check in on Monday.
Keep an eye on that guy.
See how Mike turned out.
What percentage, Ralph, do you guess of these flat earthers honestly, truly, deep inside themselves believe the earth is flat? And what percentage are just contrarians and they just like sticking it to the man?
Oh, I think if you're going to say something that dumb, you got to believe it.
Yeah, I think most of them believe it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd say most.
And you're able to, in your mind, explain away all of the overwhelming evidence against what you believe.
Look, once you're in and you're committed, it's the cult mentality. You can't possibly confront facts and accept them because then it shatters your vision of yourself. Your sense of self is so built around belonging to that group that you can't alter. Because once you let the cracks happen in the dam, the whole thing could come tumbling down.
Gotcha. Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Yeah. But Saturday. Why isn't someone live?
Right?
Live streaming this. I want to watch this.
I feel like fire is going to cleanse us in that incident.
The homemade steam rocket. It's going to get him 1,800 feet. Into the air.
I think we're going to be all right with
this. That'll be enough to prove his point.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Lee Curtis is 59. Mark Ruffalo is 50. And Scarlett Johansson is 33. Two Avengers having the same birthday.
Right?
Black Widow and the Hulk. And they're doing it.
I don't think that's...
They do it.
Do they?
Hulk and Black Widow
doing
do that
it. With you.
They do this.
Okay, all right. I'm not looking anymore.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Ross from Corona. By the way, congratulations. Thanks for listening. You're going to see the Ducks Friday night against the Jets. You won the tickets. Hey, you guys, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Sing it if you know it.
Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, oh, Thanksgiving. Turkey things are going to happen. Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window.
Oh, come on.
Thanksgiving cooks.
How unfortunate.
You can hear me fine before.
What? The pilgrims can see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plate.
It's a very disturbing new trend of how all of a sudden I can't be heard if I'm playing something you don't like.
We really need to look into that.
How does something like that happen all of a sudden out of the blue?
Right? That's my question.
All right. If you are if you're listening to me right now and you have a Thanksgiving meal to go to with friends and family and you are planning on breaking some big news to the table, all right, you've got something you've been saving up till everybody's together and you feel like, well, this is my best opportunity to let it fly.
I feel like this is a bad idea.
I know
that maybe you're with more relatives than usual. And you finally have the gang all together?
Right. Well, that's why you would do it, though. That makes sense.
I'm not positive that's when you want to drop a bomb. This this article, by the way, comes from the UCLA newsroom. I don't know what their affiliation is with the school, but the headline is "Happy Thanksgiving, Grandma." Guess what? Thanksgiving is often a time to share big news. The entire family, maybe some relatives you rarely see, is there to celebrate when you can announce, "I'm getting married" or "I've been promoted." On the flip side, Thanksgiving is also when some people drop bombshells, news that is likely to upset or surprise other family members, like, "We're getting a divorce." By the way, nothing says welcome to the holidays like somebody announcing at Thanksgiving dinner that they're getting a divorce.
Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible idea.
I bet we have listeners that it's happened to.
That said that, or that somebody else said that at their Thanksgiving?
Both. Yeah. I bet both.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you got to tell people sometime. Why not tell people when everybody's together? So we're going to be looking for your calls here right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you have dropped a bombshell at Thanksgiving or have been there when somebody else has, we want to hear your story.
It might be good
advice, though, for other people listening to kind of know how to navigate those choppy waters.
The reason that most of you haven't seen me in the last year is because I've been in San Quentin. That kind of thing.
You can deliver news like this in a way that makes it less stressful to yourself and gentler on your loved ones, says this clinical professor of psychiatry and the director of the blah, 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 blah. Is there a best time to drop news that might be upsetting for some during Thanksgiving? From the standpoint of the deliverer, the earlier, the better. It shortens the anticipatory anxiety stage, the worry about people's reactions and possible negative judgment.
That's terrible advice.
She's saying,
do it last, just before you walk out. If it ruins it, it only ruins the last couple minutes.
She's saying when you walk in the door, that it should be, "Hey, how you doing? I'm getting a sex change," or whatever the news is.
That's terrible
surprise.
Advice.
You could wait until after dessert, but then you will have spent most of your time distracted by what you're planning to say. Sharing news earlier gives everyone time to digest it and share their reactions. By the way, again, we're taking your calls 1-800-520-1067 about Thanksgiving Day bombshells. Can we also, as a PS, can we say to everyone listening right now, maybe stay away from the politics at the table?
Oh, well, that's always a given with me.
But you know there are people who are going to look at it as an opportunity to make a dig about who the other person voted for or what the other person believes. Maybe Thanksgiving in general should just be a politics-free zone.
Agreed.
Is it better to share the news ahead of time with several key family members or close friends instead of the entire group at once? The doctor says it's always best to disclose your news to the closest family members first because they are more likely to be genuine in their response, whatever it may be. It's a preview of how the rest of the group may react and will put your mind at ease in terms of knowing what to expect when you disclose to the extended family. So I guess this would be, you pull your mom aside and you say, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to tell you now, but I'll tell everybody else later. I'm dropping out of law school and I'm going to raise chickens." Or as just an example.
Great example.
It's a really strong example. I bet everybody has that one. That one's too common. Don't call with that one.
What I'm saying is, because if your mom is the one who is probably going to be the most mad about it, maybe you get her out of the way before you have to then worry about the grandparents and everybody else. What is the most considerate, loving way to deliver what may be unwelcome news? Start by prefacing the disclosure with something like, "There's something important about myself that I would like to tell you about. Is this a good time to tell you?"
This article is awful.
You don't agree with anything in it?
No.
Another way to begin is by saying, "What I am about to tell you may surprise or upset you. I will do my best to answer any questions you may have." Now, that sounds like a responsible adult way to handle this.
Hmm.
How would you do it? How would you ease into the topic, Kevin, if you had big news?
Here's what would happen. "Hey, it was nice to see everybody. Great. Good to see you. Having a sex change. Goodbye." And I walk right out the door. I mean, you don't have to make the whole day about it. This article seems to be only concerned with the person who's dropping the bomb. Not everybody else who's having a decent Thanksgiving.
I see. So minimize, if it's going to be upsetting news, if it's a divorce, don't ruin everybody's holiday by doing that as you're taking off your
coat. What's wrong with people?
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. Families are complicated. Reactions are unpredictable. And I think, you navigate your family the best way you know how, I guess. So. Well, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. You want to start in an interesting way with Cadia
I think it's Cadia in Long Beach, line 5. She hasn't dropped the bombshell yet, but is looking forward to it for tomorrow. So let's see if we can talk to her about that. Hello there, Cadia.
Is it Cadia or Katya?
It's Katya.
Katya, okay. I apologize so much. Okay.
No, it's so fine.
All right. So you hear us talking about this on the radio, and a light bulb goes off over your head, and you think what?
So this Thanksgiving, I'm planning on coming out to everyone.
Okay, now why did you decide that doing it at Thanksgiving is the way to go?
Because most of this family I don't ever see. Like most of them, half of them have cut off like my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So like this will be the only time I'll see them. Like I won't even see them for Christmas.
Okay. And have you given some thought to like the particulars of this article that we're reading from? The wording of this, the timing of this, the expected reaction. What has been running through your mind?
I don't think I'm gonna just like announce it, like walk in the door, you know?
Right.
I think I might. It might be more of a thing that I will tell everyone, but I'll tell them like one person at a time.
Oh, I see.
You're going to work your way around Thanksgiving Day one by one.
I feel like I can't just like ring a glass and be like, hey, guys, guess what?
Hey, here's an idea. Ring the glass, hey, guys, and then say, you know what I'm thankful for? Vagina. Right?
You know, amen.
How do you think it's going to be received with your family, Katya?
Oh, probably horribly.
Really?
That's a shame.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, yeah, no, it was hard for... In fact, I can't even talk about it around my mom, like, at all. Like, that's a banned subject. But everybody else is, like, super Roman Catholic.
Oh, but
did we lose
government
her?
Got to her, man. They cut her off.
Her mom just cut off the line. Oh, there you are.
Oh, you're back. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure it's going to be nerve-wracking for you, but I'm sure you're going to feel so much better afterwards. And I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope everything goes okay. Okay.
Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you. You too.
You too. Thank you. All right. Mark, please hang on. We're going to get to you first when we get back. Also, Armin, Jason, Stacy, all the rest. 1-800-520-1067. Thanksgiving dinner bombshells. That's what we're talking about. You've done it. You've been there when somebody else has done it, or you're planning on doing it tomorrow. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right. We'll get to the killers in just a second, but first we want to talk to Tim in Riverside. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Kevin and me.
So, it's a story about my cousin.
Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about Thanksgiving bombshells. Somebody breaks some news over the holiday meal. It may or may not be well received. What happened to you?
She was announcing that she was pregnant with her boyfriend by her side.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt was super angry because my cousin was living with my aunt at the time, and she knew that she was going to have to take care of this baby. My cousins, their brothers, they didn't care. My grandmother, she was super happy. And my mom was just kind of like staring at my aunt.
Wow.
Just loving her reaction.
What a crazy mix of emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, this whole thing was going on. Everybody was dead silent. And I was like really awkward. So I decided to ask who the father was.
You did the right thing, Tim. You did the right thing. Man, that's the one piece of news that you hope will be universally applauded, right?
You
having a baby, happiest day of your life. And then if somebody's not into it, that does make for an awkward holiday. All right, Tim, thanks for calling. We'll take some more calls right after the killers on K-Rock. Talking about news that is delivered in front of the whole family at a Thanksgiving holiday get-together. Kevin, your advice is wait till the last thing
yes.
as you're putting on your coat when you're leaving the room.
I'm saying why ruin the whole day for everyone? Mm-hmm. If it's going to be something that's controversial or that you know someone's not going to love, go ahead and wait till the end.
Okay. Well, let's find out how our listeners have handled it. 1-800-520-1067. Now, Jason, you hang on. Let's get to Mark first, West LA, line 2.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened at a Thanksgiving with you?
Well, I was in jail years ago, and it was like a family secret. Word of advice, if you have a suspended license, don't get pulled over.
Okay, good tip.
And so I was in jail, and this is my sister told me this because obviously I wasn't there. And my mom's kind of an attention whore, and everybody's talking around her, and nobody's really paying attention to her. So she stands up and just appropriate of nothing, yells out, "Mark's in jail."
Why would she do that? Even if she's an attention whore, that's crazy.
And my sister said the whole conversation died. You could have heard a pin drop.
And my favorite Uncle Billy, God bless him, said, "Did he finally beat his ex, his bitch of a wife to death? I'll bail him out."
Oh my God!
Well, that got just ugly.
Turned ugly fast. Not even funny.
All right.
So how long did you end up being in jail, Mark?
Well, they tried to give me a year in jail for driving on a suspended license. I got a lawyer, and they gave me 6 months, and I actually served 75 days for driving on a suspended license.
Mm. All right. Well, we all learned a valuable lesson here. Don't go to Thanksgiving with your mom. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's do Jason real quick. Van Nuys up next, line 4.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I've been listening to you guys since I was 10 years old. That's like the last 23 years. I love you guys.
You rule. Thank you.
But I do want to say, Kevin, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Really? Man. Okay.
Yeah, nobody wants to wait until the last minute and then regurgitate all their food when the person leaves. That's horrible. And
you'd rather ruin the whole meal?
Oh, you'd ruin the whole meal if you said it.
I'm saying you'd rather ruin the whole day, though, if you start with the news?
Well, then how do you feel on the inside not being able to – you have to hold it in the entire time? It's horrible.
Here's what I'm saying. It's the group is more important than the person. That's what I'm saying.
No, not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm more important than the crew.
I know you're saying that.
Well, hold on. Let me just tell you. So,
go ahead.
So we all have that one uncle, you know, and I'm not talking about the rapey, molesty uncle. I'm talking about that one uncle that you've known your entire life is gay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so pretty much like the entire family, I mean, this guy, the uncle that I'm talking about, he's obviously gay. But I guess in his own little world, he didn't know that we all knew he was gay.
Right.
And so he decided to wait until the food was being passed around. After we said grace, we're all about to eat, and he decides to tell us a story that he wrote about the gay little bookshelf or something. It was the most awkward way to come out. And the bottom line is, like, my dad cut him off and said, "Are you trying to tell us all that you're gay?" And he turned bright red and said yes. And literally, me and my dad looked at each other, started cracking up, and I said, "We all knew. Can we eat now? We've known for years. Can we eat now?"
You're not announcing this to anyone that doesn't know it already.
Well, that must have been a tremendous sense of relief for the uncle then.
No, he was pissed. He was pissed. What? He was pissed that we took away his glory from being able to come out and tell everyone or so.
He was angry that you were accepting of it?
Yeah, well, that we already knew and that we kind of, like, outed him, like, let's save it. Save your big speech. We already know you're gay. It's no big deal.
Pass the chicken.
Like this, like.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Jason.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Christy writes in, "One year my uncle showed up with his 19-year-old daughter that he'd been hiding since he was a teenager. That was fun." How about that?
An
unexpected guest showing up.
I'm not going to start a commercial till I hear the story of your brother.
I'll tell you the story of my brother because I know you love it so much.
It's my favorite.
Years ago, my brother and I were adults living out of my parents' house, but we went to their house to have Thanksgiving with them like you do. And it was my mom was a wonderful cook. It was a lovely Thanksgiving dinner. And it took a long time, as they do, and two and a half hours into it at the end, as we're clearing the coffee and the dessert, my brother says, "Well, I guess I better go. Girlfriend's waiting for me down in the car."
Yay! He made her wait in the car!
The entire Thanksgiving meal, without a mention, his girlfriend had waited for him in the car.
How did she not get out of the car and walk away?
And they stayed together for a long time after that. And I was able to ask my brother after the fact at another time, away from my parents, like, "What's that deal?" And
right?
He's like, "I've told her so many crazy stories about my life. I didn't want her to be able to fact check it with our parents." That was his reason.
But don't bring her in the car.
Then don't. I think they were going to her family's house after for another Thanksgiving.
So swing by and pick her up. What's wrong with your brother?
Look, there are a lot of different ways that could be handled. But that was a little bit of a bombshell to find out that this poor woman had been sitting out in the car. By the way, November in Maryland, pretty cold. Long time to be sitting out in the car waiting for somebody else to get finished eating.
Oh, that's the best.
That was one of my all-time favorite Thanksgiving bombshells.
I'd like to put in one more plug for tonight's LA Kings game. If you're coming to see the Kings play the Jets, this is the fourth and final food drive that mm-hmm. we're having before the game. All the major entrances we will be at. And if you bring canned food, non-perishable food, we'll give you for every single item that you bring. So if you bring 10 items, you get 10 raffle tickets. And at the end of the sometime in the first period, usually, they do a drawing and somebody will win tickets to a future Kings game and also tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Sweet.
So one person will win both of those.
Are you going through all this food? How many jars of peanut butter have you lifted that are in the trunk of your
car? I am not
right
allowed
now?
Access to any of it.
Okay, good. I know how you are.
All the important stuff is being taken care of by other people. But it is going to Help Friends and Helpers, which is the charity my wife and I started, and it is going to go basically right into a truck and right to the shelters where they need this food. So if you can bring that tonight, we would totally appreciate it. 30 Seconds to Mars, playing night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Looking forward to that.
If I could walk on water.
Nope. Different
song. If I could find some way to prove.
Same song. Same title, different song.
If I could walk on water, would you believe in me? My love is the truth.
Ralph, break it up. Usually that just happens to me.
It happens to whoever's doing something horrible.
You guys.
Why is it to go up all the time when you're talking?
Speaking of songs, you guys, today has been an unusual day because it is, in fact, Wednesday. Obviously, we just did the Wheel O. But it's also kind of feels like a Friday. So, like, we had the Movie Bee. We had RJ Bell on. What if we did a holiday edition of Keep It 100? What if we, even though it's Wednesday, what if we let the listeners pick the song that we play coming up after 9?
Yes, please.
Thanksgiving spooks.
Anything but that.
So you can text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is a feature. Usually we do it around this time on Fridays, but we're going to do it right now. If you have any song you've ever loved on K-Rock, if we still have it, we'll play it for you. And you have picked some great songs in the past. Here's just a sampling.
I spoke two joints before I spoke two joints.
Had a little horsey named Paul Revere.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
So if you want to add
Drowning
to that,
Pool was last Friday. That was awesome.
I know. Thank you, Ernest from Whittier. If you want to add to the songs that you have picked for Keep It 100, you can do so right now. Text us 1-800-520-1067. Give us your name, too, and your city, and then, of course, we'll have to text you back to get your permission to call and put you on the air. But please do all of that and do it now. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Well, you just heard that poor turkey talking about not getting pardoned because
right?
he was dead. Reminded me of another story involving Donald Trump.
Oh, I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah. LeVar Ball is the dad, of course, of LiAngelo Ball from UCLA. And he was one of the three basketball players that Donald Trump was instrumental in helping get out of trouble there in China when they were caught shoplifting.
Right.
And Donald Trump doesn't believe that LeVar Ball is being thankful enough to him and is being very vociferous about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying that it was me, I did it all, and you better thank me, and I should have let those kids in jail. And he was very upset.
Shouldn't the president just be intervening on behalf of American citizens being held abroad because he's
because,
the president?
Just because? Yes, of course.
It shouldn't be about what you can do for me afterwards.
And here's the thing, many politicians and also State Department officials do this on the reg for Americans all the time. And they don't ever ask for thanks or whatever. They just know it's part of their job to protect Americans.
Having said that, he probably was instrumental and probably deserves a thanks from Dad.
Okay, but
right?
if he doesn't get it...
Right, agreed.
How much do you stamp your feet and
agreed.
Hold your breath and eat worms?
Zero.
Because you don't love me enough and I should have left your kid in jail in China. I mean, when do you say, well... That's if that guy's going to be inappropriate, I'm still the president of the United
States. When you're another person?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, if Trump doesn't like it, well, then the Trumpians certainly don't like it. The Trumpeteers, the Trumparasts, they don't care for it. And so they're taking to public social media as well to voice their displeasure with LeVar. And so they are attacking on Twitter... LeVar Burton.
What?
Yeah, LeVar Burton is getting the brunt of their hatred. Apparently, they're confusing LeVar Ball, father of LiAngelo Ball, with LeVar Burton.
Who had nothing to do with this.
Host of TV's Reading Rainbow and Geordi LaForge from Star Trek The Next Generation. Kunta Kinte from Roots. Actor LeVar Burton is getting hate mail, death threats, you name it, from all the Trump fans.
Butterfly in the sky.
They're not singing this to him.
They're not?
No.
Shouldn't they be, though?
They should.
Take a look.
It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
I can't. All right. Stop it there.
A lot of tweets like this one from Mark Conte. You're a has-been actor with a thief for a son, and Trump is the president of the United States. Get the picture?
To the wrong guy.
To the wrong guy. Yeah. If anyone needs to get the picture.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I think it might be that gentleman, not LeVar Burton. And so I feel bad for LeVar today, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I like, my favorite part of the president's tweet, though, is the all caps, it was me! Exclamation point.
Right. That's him stamping his feet and holding his breath.
With the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office.
Ever.
That I can tell you.
Ever.
Lincoln? Trump.
That's
wrong.
How this goes.
More intersection of politics and show business. Fox News was doing a story on Al Franken and, of course, his sexual assault allegations against Leanne Tweeden. And they just couldn't resist making a joke at Franken's expense, putting a photo of him up on their screen with the chyron underneath it, Weird Al. See, because he's inappropriate.
I will not allow that.
I will not allow that.
No one's asking you. No.
You don't have any say in
right?
it, really, baby.
Well, I'm just saying.
Zero people care what you think on this topic.
I'm writing a strongly worded letter right now.
But you know who does have a say in it? The guy who owns the trademark, Weird Al.
Yeah.
A guy named Al Yankovic has contacted Fox News and said, hey, it's extremely uncool to use my name in this context, was his complaint. And then he, on Twitter, posted his trademark renewal application for Weird Al, suggesting maybe they find some other way to mock the Owls of the world rather than dragging his name into a sexual assault case.
What a weird moment that must have been when he realized he was wrapped up in this story somehow.
And just completely minding his own business, and he sees his name splattered across Fox News.
Just putting on a Hawaiian shirt. That's all
That's
he was
right.
doing.
Just tuning up the old accordion, watching a little cable news. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden now he's involved. He's like, hey, leave me out of it.
I was so angry when I saw that I fired off a tweet to LeVar Burton, and I said, stop it already.
Yeah. Has been actor with a thief son. You have a thief son. We're living in insane times.
Yes, we are. It's ridiculous.
It's never been crazier than it is right now.
That's correct.
Right. Just want to check. Okay.
That's correct.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Lee Curtis is 59 years old today. Actor Mark Ruffalo celebrates his 50th birthday. And Scarlett Johansson is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on. Let's keep it 100, shall we?
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
All right, had a good batch of requests today, including the ones we did not get to. At number 99, Sergio from Anaheim, so sorry, Far Behind by Candlebox. You know, I don't give a lot of thought to Candlebox, but I feel like if I had heard that song again right now, it would have sounded pretty good.
I feel the opposite.
And number 101 is a great song from the 747, No Name Given, Portishead. Remember Portishead?
Oh, sure.
In Sour Times.
Yeah.
Would have been good, but neither of them are Texture 100. That is our man, Raul. He is in Whittier, and he joins us on the phone right now. Raul, what's going on?
What's going on, you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Our pleasure. What's your holiday weekend looking like? What are you doing for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Stay really local. Family, in-laws. That's about it.
Your in-laws like you?
Yeah, they love me.
Okay.
You got any bombshells you plan to drop around the table?
Say that again?
You got any bombshells, any bad news you're going to drop on the fam around the table?
No. I got to keep it nice. Yeah.
Well, we're giving you the opportunity to be the K-Rock music director for a few minutes. You can pick any song you want that you've ever heard on K-Rock that you love. If you give us a song, if we have it, we will play it for you. I know you've given this a lot of thought. What'd you come up with, Raul?
I came up with Holiday in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys.
Holy moly.
How'd
you choose that?
You know what? Somebody said it earlier. I think it was Ralph. He said, you know, we live in a crazy, crazy time, and I totally agreed. And then just a holiday, you know, in the name. So I thought it was a fit.
And here we are on the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. That happened on this date, yet this is the song you picked.
Thanks, guys.
Way to bring us down, B. You know how to sell it.
Thanks, Raul. Have a great weekend. Thanks for keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
100.
I found a list online of the top 106.7 songs on K-Rock for the year 1980, and that song was number 15 for the year here on this little radio station, Dead Kennedys' Holiday in Cambodia. Good to hear that one again. Thank you to Raul from Whittier. We'll do it again next Friday as we keep it 100 on K-Rock.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock.
Huh? Who's saying, Kev? What was that?
Huh? What?
What are you saying?
I was just singing along with the Imagine Dragons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thunder. The thunder.
It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Who do you think you are?
That's
right. Dream about being a big star.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Cannot tell you how much I love that song.
I do, too.
Love that.
Really?
Yes.
Really? There are some on the show.
I know. Maybe, it's very polarizing.
Maybe on vacation in Maine right now, who adore Imagine Dragons, but just have no time whatsoever for Thunder.
There may be
some. Oh, my God. Really?
In the other room who may be going on vacation to New York this week who really doesn't like the song.
Yeah.
And his little diminutive friend who sits at the desk next to his, also not a fan. So and a woman who may or may not have a name that is synonymous with a popular feline pet.
Right.
Not a big fan.
And who may have to work over the holidays and not even have Thursday or Friday off.
Who are you talking about, Kevin?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Chip.
So feline pet for you, you went to Chip. You think a Chip is a feline pet.
I wasn't. I was just, okay. I was reading Chip's. No way.
No, wait, let's stop and think about this for a second. Ralph said, has a name, shares a name with a feline pet. What word can possibly come to your mind that isn't cat?
Hi, it's Cat.
Chip, apparently, Bean.
You know, those feline pets that are called Chips.
Right. I like chocolate cat cookies.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Chip has terrible handwriting.
That's our Thunder recap.
David Cassidy has passed away. David Cassidy, of course, huge teen idol of the 70s. If you weren't alive back then or didn't do some research into that era, you would not know how popular this guy was. And I think, like so many teen idols, it effed him up for the rest of his life.
Did it?
Yeah. Mm. He got so much adoration. At one time, he was the biggest draw concert-wise, not only in the United States, but in Japan and Australia as well.
Wow.
I believe
for several years
one.
In a row, number one.
Wow. I believe I recall draw. He sold out Anaheim Stadium in 1972, if you can picture that.
Yeah, he was playing stadiums all over the world at one point.
Wow.
And then it all went away, as it does often in that case with teen idols, and I think it led to a certain amount of bitterness. He had some family issues too. His dad was an actor. His stepmom was Shirley Jones, who played his real-life mother on The Partridge Family. And I think it led to drug and alcohol abuse. He famously had issues with that. To varying degrees of success, he was able to get a handle on it. Then he would fall off again. And they say the organ failure probably was largely due to this problem he had with substance abuse and with alcohol. But 67 years old, it's pretty young to pass away. In Florida. I posted a picture of when we met David Cassidy. We were talking about earlier in the show in Vegas. And it's us backstage meeting with him. And he was very kind and very gracious. And you can see that picture if you follow me at Ralph Garman on Twitter. I posted it up on Twitter. You can check it out.
I saw you in the photo, Ralph. I saw me, David Cassidy right there in the middle.
Yeah,
I
couldn't, right there.
Did you crop Kevin out of the
crop
photo?
Crop me right out.
No,
that's unbelievable
that
he would do
I didn't
that.
See it him. Turns out.
I'm in the picture and he's cropping me out. That's what Ralph's like.
It was a singles party that was they brought us to Vegas with a bunch of listeners to have a singles party. And it was all thanks to the folks at the Rio Hotel, who David Cassidy was their headliner at the time. So it was a combo thing. You got to go to the party and also see David perform live. And it was a great event. And
it was real treat.
David was the reason we were able to bring all those listeners. So
it's big fun.
Afterwards, Bean and me and my girlfriend at the time, we went backstage to hang out with Dave and say thank you.
Me.
And you left us before the show.
See, that's your story, but you cropped
it's
me right out
It's not a story.
Because
you said... David Cassidy, does alcohol still exist in Las Vegas? Is there still gambling in Las Vegas? I'll see you suckers. and you stumbled off into the darkness.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
So you didn't even thank our host.
Yeah. The man who made it all possible. The founder of our feast.
I mean, I was there just before you guys.
You weren't?
Yeah, I was there just before I left. I had to go do a thing, so I said hi and thanks.
The only thing you had to do was
took
drink.
Took my picture with him and then left. And then you guys showed up late.
Kevin, God damn it.
God damn it.
Kev Doggy Dog.
Kev Dog.
Of course, he also played Mirror Master in the original Flash TV series.
Sure.
And then his daughter, Katie Cassidy, who's now a wildly popular star on the CW, she played Black Canary on The Arrow and now is Black Siren on that show. So a lot of nerd cred in that family as well. Anyway, passed away at the age of 67 years old this week. Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys now has been accused of rape. New York Daily News says Melissa Schumann, who was formerly in an all-girl band called Dream, claims that he forced himself on her in 2004 at his apartment in Santa Monica, California. She put a blog about it online, said she was 18 years old and a virgin at the time. Nick was 22, and she describes in pretty graphic detail what happened that night. So yet another celebrity being accused of sexual assault by someone, and this isn't the first time he's been accused of this either. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. Just so deeply troubling on so many levels. Let's move on to happier news. Like, hot girls getting a lot of money, right?
Right.
Forbes magazine, which, as you know, I believe consists only to put out lists of how much money people are making now. That's all they do. They have released their list of the 10 highest paid models for 2017. This is just for the calendar year 2017. These top 10 models were the highest paid. Anyone take a guess?
Pam Anderson?
Pam Anderson not on the list. No, I don't believe she's a model.
I'm going to say to you...
Hi, it's Kat.
Kat? Is it Chip?
Feline pet Chip?
Feline pet Chip?
I'm going to say to you, Gisele Bündchen is traditionally very high on a list like this.
You know, usually she's number one, Bean, but in this case, she's dropped to number two. Gisele got nudged out of the way this year. Nudged. She only made $17.5 million this year, and that nudged her to the second place.
Does she make more or less than her husband?
Good question. I think less. I think he's making 30.
Is he? Okay. How about the Hadid sisters? Do they appear?
Gigi does.
Hey, Gigi.
What? I heard a guy on the radio say Gigi Hadid.
He did say Gigi.
He may have been
misinformed.
I think it may be Gigi.
Yeah, she's fifth. Yes.
Peggy right. Noonan.
You don't know Chinese model Li Wen, but she's eighth on the list. I'll give you that one because you don't know her. But everyone else you know. Fan Bingbing. No, Fan Bingbing did not make the list.
Farrah Abramson?
No. Number 10 is Ashley Graham. Plus size supermodel Ashley Graham.
Oh, sure, yeah.
On the list. She's having a great year, by the
way. Becky with the good hair?
Becky did not make the list. Bella Hadid. Oh, I'm sorry. Bella Hadid is also on the list at number 9. I missed Bella, but yes, both Hadid sisters are on the list. At number 7, Karlie Kloss.
Oh, sure.
Not only a model, but a programmer as well. Why are you looking at me like that, Kevin?
I don't know what you mean.
She's famous for her coding.
Okay.
She's all about the coding.
All right.
She loves to get girls into coding. She's very much into programming.
All right.
Demi Lovato.
Again, not a model. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Sixth on the list.
From Transformers.
Yes.
Count Smokey La.
She only made $9.5 million this year for Hiker.
Right. Pablo, the dinosaur.
Pablo, not a model, nor a woman.
Lady Gaga!
Same with that.
Woman.
Woman, but not a model.
Let's not take everything
Johnny
away from her.
Utah.
Adriana Lima.
Sure, sure.
Fourth on the list. Frequent listener of the Kevin and Bean Show, Chrissy Teigen. Chrissy Teigen. On the list at number 3. But you have number one. You got to peg number one. That's all. And
number
you're
going to
be
one.
Both surprised and repulsed when I tell you who number one is.
Repulsed? Because that takes away every guess I had.
Is it?
Anne from Germany.
Yes.
It's that bitch Anne from Germany.
Repulsed.
Uh-huh. I'm going to have some coffee here while you guys suss it out.
A model?
That's radio weird. Girl.
Not Radio Girl, because that's a fictional superhero, Rodney. That
Christine.
Made up in your head. Christine works in the other room. She's lovely, but she's not a model, to the best of my knowledge.
Porcupine.
No, Porcupine.
I'm baffled by Repulsed.
Bobo.
No, it is no Bobo.
Adele Dazeem.
The
even a real person?
Meatball guy?
That's a great question.
It could have been meatball guy. So far, that's the best guess yet.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Not a model.
Ariana Grande? Repulsed.
What if we gave up instead?
That's a great question. Let's do that. Let's opt for that.
Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner is number one.
Oh, hell no.
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Does it repulse you, though?
Not really.
Really?
No, not really.
Why? Now all of a sudden you like the Jenners?
No, I don't like the Jenners, but she's sort of got it going on, and she's got a business,
cool.
And she's...
she got it going on?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, other than other members of that family who I think are worthless?
How do other people in the 90s feel about her?
Why?
She's righteous. No, I mean, she's got businesses going, she's...
Wow. Somebody's got a crush.
Come on now.
Somebody's got a crush on Kendall Jenner.
No, I'm just saying. In contrast to the rest of her family.
I'm just saying. Somebody's got some feelings, some Kendall feelings.
I'm saying in contrast to the rest of her family.
She made $22 million this year. How does that make you feel?
And she's how old, Ralph? Like 22 or something,
I believe,
right?
21, 22.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, there's your list of highest paid models for 2017. Today's celebrity birthday is Jamie Lee Curtis is 59 years old today. Mark Ruffalo celebrates 50 years on the planet. And Scarlett Johansson's 33. Couple Avengers right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, on your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning. Not tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning we're going to be having Thanksgiving. Everyone, yes. Every single person on the planet is off work.
Except the feline pet.
Right? Which is great news for everybody because we're all off work. We all get to enjoy Thanksgiving.
Poor Chip.
Thank you very much.
Poor Chip. Someone going to bring you something to eat here? We're going to bring you a leg or a drumstick or something? Chip?
They won't want to?
No.
Monday morning, we have Harvey Levin like we do on Mondays. We've also got Andrew Siciliano to take a look at the long NFL weekend. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well.